Welcome back to Ag Day, presented by Skiles Electric on WILO Boone 1027 and HoosierlandTV.com. Also brought to you by the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll County, the Farmers Bank, Wampler Services Incorporated, Rossville Consolidated School District, Drago, Indiana, and First Farmers Bank and Trust.
All right. It's my honor to get to introduce our next guest that is going to be educating us on all things climate and weather for the next few minutes is Mr. Austin Pearson. I'll just let you give your new title and what you do with the Purdue Climate Office, or with the State Climate Office now.
That's code for I can't pronounce it.
Oh, I can pronounce it, but yeah. He's got a new title.
Oh.
So, thanks, Adam. I am the Assistant State Climatologist now. This is as of December. I don't know if you remember a few years ago that Ken Scaringa was the Assistant State Climatologist under Deb Nayogi for many years, and so Beth Hall, our State Climatologist currently, she does a great job with the State Climate Office, and she liked what I was doing, and she thought it was time for a title change. So I was able to go and do that, and ultimately I address a lot of state-related needs with climate outreach education, weather outreach education. So I do a lot of extension talks across the state throughout the wintertime. And so while I love going out to do those, this is one of the last events that I have on the calendar for this off-season. So growing season's getting ready to start. And so I'm thankful to have a little bit of a reprieve for that. So I do a lot of that. I'm also a man of many hats with the State Climate Office and the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, which is also housed at Purdue University. So I'm one of their staff climatologists, and I do a lot of product and web development for their side of things. Hopping back over to the Indiana side of things, we are also in charge of the Purdue Mesonet. And it's a statewide weather network where we're getting local weather observations, getting those out to producers various stakeholders across the state to get that weather information out and highly calibrated. We maintain those throughout the time frame, so a bit of a step up compared to your private weather stations that you have. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that later, but I'll go ahead and see what else you have for me, Adam.
Yeah, so we kind of thought it was a pretty important topic to have today, so we gave it a little bit more time on the Ag Day program to break it out into kind of two sessions.
Even though I ate into a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. Eric took over your time, so you guys can battle that out later. But so this first half, we've got all the burning questions that producers in the area have, and so I want to cover those, and then the second half we'll circle back around and look at those resources and the tools that you have developed that are excellent for those producers to access within the growing season and all season long, through the Midwest Climate Center and the State Climate Office. So I guess we'll jump in, and you were, before we went on air here, you were giving us some pretty scary statistics for the Frankfort community here, but let's talk a little bit about, this winter, what it's been like, what impact it's had, the moisture, just tell us a little recap of what we've seen this winter, with as far as our weather conditions.
Yeah, I'm going to do you one better, and I'm going to go back to last summer. I think that's really where this big story starts. And even looking at the previous fall, back to 2024, you're looking at that period. We set ourselves up with a pretty dry fall. Portions of the southeastern part of the state, D3, extreme drought for the first time since 2012. So we had a dry fall. Many farmers yielded fine, and then also didn't have to do a lot of extra drying as a result. So a lot of the grain went right into the bin. Moving into last spring, we had a bit of a wet spell, and then we tore ourselves out of the drought for that short-term period, so things kind of ebbed and flowed back and forth throughout that early part of the stage. One of the important things that I wanted to talk about back in June, July, we were on a near-record pace for the warmest minimum temperatures across the state. So for many areas, and we had dew point temperatures that were consistently above 60, above 65 degrees and above 70. So I think Indianapolis International Airport had 66% of their hourly observations in June and July alone with dew point temperatures greater than 65 degrees Fahrenheit. It's pretty impressive during that time frame. And when you think about the dew point temperatures during the summertime, that's typically where your low temperatures are going to be. And so with that, we had warm temperatures, warmest June-July temperatures for minimum temperatures on record. And then August came. And I love to camp. We camp any chance we get. And I would say August was probably the best camping weather we ever had in that month of August. It was cool, very calm, chilly mornings, perfect campfire conditions. But then we had issues with the moisture cutting off. That drier air moved in. And so we didn't have a lot of moisture. And so when we start looking back at the departures that we built up for precipitation back to that August 1st time frame, we had some instances where we were over 10 inches below normal just a couple weeks ago from August 1st. So really just shut off moisture-wise. Farmers had record pace on harvest around here. Another year of getting the grain into the bins without much drying that was going on. So saving on fuel costs. But one of the things that I really is pretty impressive statistic, this was the fourth driest span from August 1st to current date on record. So that goes back to 1914 for Frankfurt. And then the five-year departure is where it gets really scary. When you look at since 2020, January 1st of 2020, we've got precipitation departures that are 32.5 inches below normal. That's almost an entire year's worth of precipitation. And so thinking about how that relates to the current drought scenario, we've had drought conditions that have continued to happen, still in drought across the state. Most of that is groundwater and subsoil moisture based. And so we may be looking fine up top, but when you look deeper down in the soil profile, you start seeing those deficits.
Well, and I think for the average person, when they hear that we are that far behind on rainfall and actual moisture in the ground, but we just got done having a big rainstorm, it's like they don't get it. We have those big rainstorms like that, these thunderstorms that come through and drop a lot of water all at once, short period of time. That's runoff. That's not what soaks into the ground. That's not what adds to our water tables. It just goes on out to the ocean eventually.
Yeah, I mean, we're big on talking about effective precipitation, and those heavy gully washers that we end up getting, a lot of it does end up into the stormwater system or running off. Now, I will say that, you know, the upper soil profile has recharged quite a bit here recently. But again, if you start looking deeper in the soil profile, it's where we're seeing those departures in groundwater conditions. We're seeing well water conditions or well water long-term reporting stations. They're less than fifth percentile for groundwater level. And I'm hearing central Illinois, where private water wells are going dry as a result of the dry conditions. Now, the precip that we've received over the last couple weeks has certainly helped. Okay, we'll take it. We're going to take every bit we can get, especially going into growing season. Obviously, you know, dry breeds usually dry, and so it's hard to break these types of patterns. And with the drought ongoing out west as well, it's interesting to see what that'll do with our moisture spell. But we'll talk a bit about the outlook soon, I think that's next. But looks like Eric has a question.
Oh, I'm ready to grill you here, Austin. I'm curious. You mentioned, you know, that 32 inches here around the Frankfurt area. What are you seeing on a statewide level? Because I know that it's been very different in different parts of the state, and I want to ask you another question about that as well. But what are you seeing around the state on this? Is it similar to what we're seeing here in the Clinton County area?
Yeah, no, it's not the same. So if you look pretty much I-70 southward, they've been pretty well adequate on moisture. They've received the timely rains. Now, there is a bit of areas stretching from, you know, the western side of the state along Illinois down to Vincennes, even down into Evansville, where there are dry conditions. But the storm track has just favored south of I-70, and it has just been continuous over the last several years. You know, many times you know, you hear broadcast meteorologists on TV talk about that I-70 split. And southward just kind of seems, that even though it's a fictitious line, right, it just seems that's where the conveyor belts of storms have just continuously gone. Now, you go north of that, the swath from here pretty much all the way up to Lake County, up near Lake Michigan, we've got those departures and deficits that have built up. And, you know, it's just that continuous conveyor belts of missing out on storms. Now, we've even had storms. Like last year, we had rapid rain event in, I think it was May or June, in north central Indiana. And, you know, Indian Heights in the central part of Kokomo flooded out, right? And so, and I was driving across State Road 26 and with high water, where we had those drainage improvement projects that we thought would hold that water, but, you know, it didn't. And so, you know, there's some things there to discuss. But, yeah, certainly a lot of regional differences across the state here.
We're here at the top of the hour. Do we need to do that? This is WILO Frankfurt, 1570 AM. See, this is just what I do. So Austin, I'm curious, as we look here around the statewide level, because from what I understand, and I don't know, I've heard from Beth about this a little bit, but when you look at the way some of these storms used to be versus what they are now, you know, we often hear farmers say, well, you know, if you look at this field over here, I got 3 inches, but if you look at this field over here, I got nothing. We're just not seeing these big, wide bands of storms come through that will cover, you know, 15 counties like they used to.
Heck, it split my house.
Yeah, I mean, it's boy, it's raining in my front yard, but not my back.
Yeah.
Is I'm going to bring up a controversial term here, Austin. Is this climate change? Is this just a different pattern? What? See, he just went.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah,
so what is this? What is the difference here in the way things used to be versus the way they are now, that we're seeing such a stark difference between these different parts of the state?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, obviously that's a fun question. You know, it's a highly political football, obviously, when you look at climate change and stuff like that. So we like to talk about variability and weather patterns as a result of that. We've had dry periods. You look back at the 30s, you look back in the 80s, when we had drought conditions, 2012. You know, you have these patterns that set up. Now, when you're talking during the summertime, a lot of the summertime storms are typically when we have our heaviest precipitation events. And when you look at the jet stream and how that sets up, and you get a heat dome, high humid, high heat conditions across the specific area, and then you get that ring of fire pattern where the storms just kind of ride along that boundary layer. And everything in between that, if you have enough humidity and the atmosphere is conducive for thunderstorm development, you'll get these popcorn-type thunderstorm showers that'll pop up, rain themselves out, and those types of things. So that's pretty typical for a summertime pattern that we would see. And, yeah, when you look at one side of the field to the other side of the field, you're not getting the same amount of precipitation. And, heck, you can put two rain gauges right next to each other, and they're not going to measure the same thing. I can guarantee that. And so, you know, when you're looking at those things, that all kind of goes into it. We have more observations around the state now than what we used to. And so everybody and their brother has a rain gauge. And so, and if you're part of COCORAS, the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, Snow Network, or not, volunteer observations get fed in. We get those reports, and we can make better precipitation maps from those. And getting back to the climate change scenario, I mean, we do anticipate the seasonality changes. You know, your spring's getting wetter, summer's getting drier, fall's getting drier, and those types of things that we've seen. We're not here to debate the causes. We're not here to talk about any of that. But, you know, farmers will agree that they see patterns change over time, and whether you want to contribute it to whatever you want to put a title to it, you can talk about that. But overall, I mean, we've always seen these popcorn type thunderstorms that pop up, rain themselves out. We've also had periods where we have these large frontal boundaries that push the storms, like we had this last weekend with the heavier precipitation event that happened. So those are typically more common during the springtime and the fall when you have more atmosphere instability and rapid temperature changes. So
I think what I heard is that climate change is real, and it's because we have more data. Is that what I heard?
No,
I'm kidding. He doesn't need to walk himself out.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we don't know. And one of the things, too, is, like, there's a lot of different scenarios that can lead to that. And, you know, it could be urbanization around long-term stations that we've had, or placement of sensors, right? So we're still trying to improve station siting and making sure they're in the proper location to get the most accurate measurement. And so there's just a lot of variables that it's a multi-variable issue that we're still trying to assess. And overall, the science does point that something is happening. And I would say most farmers do agree that they are seeing pattern changes over time.
I love this topic, and I'm sorry I'm hijacking things, but our meteorologist, Ryan Martin, he always loves to talk about it. And weather data, when you really think about it, doesn't go back that far.
No.
So it's kind of like, where are we in the cycle? How far back does this cycle go?
It's really
hard to say.
Yeah, because, yeah. You can go back.
Is it climate change? Are we in the middle of a cycle? Like, we have no idea.
No, right. You can go back. And I'm a firm believer in the almanac. I'm sad to say that they're doing away with the printed copy of it because I really like that. But the almanac, you can look back for as long as that's been in, and you can see it's not 100%, never has been. But you can see some of those patterns that are coming back around. If you go back, if you really want to research some of that, and granted, like you said, the data is not there. It's not 100%. None of that is completely accurate. But before, we're going to take a quick break here in just a minute, but one thing I wanted to ask, you know, we talk about how much of a drought where we're at here, just on the other side of 70, but yet, why is it that, are we getting that humidity that we had, even though we had cooler temperatures in August, but we had the humidity. We had that humidity in June. Is that the reason why we have, it seems like our crops through this area, Carroll, Clinton, even parts of Howard, parts of Montgomery, kind of seep into Boone. We have great crops right through here. Even in a, I want to call it a crap year, we still seem to have decent crops. Is there any data that's leaning to why that's happening?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, the Tipton, Clinton, Howard County area is blessed with a pretty good soil, pretty resilient soil around here, typically heavier in clay content, you know, subsoil, so that helps hold on to the moisture deeper, allows the crop to root deeper. There are a lot of producers that are starting to look at no-till and conservation practices that help conserve some of the moisture in the systems. And so, you know, that's another big thing across the state right now. And I did want to divert and talk a bit about, you know, weather data. Since it was mentioned, you know, we don't have really a long-term record. Most of our records go back to 1895. You think about it, that's a very small sliver of a very small sliver of actual representation of the data and the cycle that we've been going through, and you know, a lot of those longer term stations, we're losing some of them because people are dying, moving on, retiring, and those stations get decommissioned. And so when you start comparing new stations, like the automated stations that we're deploying, and those older long term records, it's kind of hard to 100% guarantee them one to one, right? So just a lot of things to consider with that. We did have military forts back in the 1870s that we have data from, but comparing those more standardized practices really started in 1895.
And, you know, genetics are getting really good too, deal with some of these dry seasons. So
definitely.
100%. With that, I annoyed Austin with the climate change thing. Anytime you want to get under the skin of a climatologist, a weatherman, you bring up climate change and then you leave the room. So I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your ag day here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for staying. We're going to take a quick break. Ag Day presented by Skiles Electric on WILO, Boone 1027, and HoosierlandTV.com. When we come back, more with Austin Pearson, climatologist at Purdue University and Indiana State Climate Office. So we want to thank him for being here.